My first writing failure was when I received a critique about a story I wrote about a duo of crime fighters in Hong Kong. I think that Mr. Hodges thought that the story was good, but it could have been better, and that's why he gave me an A- instead of an A+. Now, I think I should have gotten extra credit because I was the one who suggested that my entire sixth grade class write long-form fiction stories. I will say that the rest of the class was more than willing to give me credit, though I believe the word they used was blame. So that was the first experience with failure. My second experience was 20 years later, when I finally finished my first full-length novel in my early 30s. And I know that's a lot of time in between, but like all of us, life gets in the way. And I did write a lot in that time, but I never finished anything. And I'm sure we've all experienced different periods in our lives where we've done that. But I'd written the full-length novel, and yes, I finished it. It's time. I got it into what I thought was excellent shape. I've got my list of 100 agents I'm going to query. I get my killer query letter together, start sending that baby out. So every in batches of 10. I don't send it to all 100 at once, of course. So as they start coming back and I checking off the list is the no, 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 and the next ones go out and go out and go out and go out until I reach the bottom of the list and I still haven't had any takers. I could have given up then. I could have just said, okay, I've tried, I'm done, that's it. But I knew, you know, writing is what I wanted to do, and I'm sure it's what, you know, you all want to do. It's what we do. So you say, you're going to keep going, you're going to keep going, I'm going to keep doing this. The unfortunate thing is life got in the way again. So 10 years passed, still no second novel. And I finally said to myself, if I'm going to do this, if I'm really, really going to do this thing that 12-year-old me wanted to do, then I need to get my act in gear. Because I'm not getting any younger. I mean, I thought I would, but somehow it didn't work that way. And I said, okay, I need to do something about this. What can I do? I needed to carve more time out of my day. So I started sleeping less, getting up early. I would write for 2 hours before I went to work. In the evenings when I could, I would write in the evenings. On weekends, wherever I could get the time, I would write then until I got that next book done. So I got book number two done, very excited, got into working shape, got my list of agents together, got my killer query letter together, started sending it out again, and they came in the back just like before, and it goes into the drawer with the other one. So now I've got two drawer novels that nobody wants, but that's okay. I was prepared this time because I knew what the experience was like. I knew what happened last time, and I knew I wasn't gonna, no matter what, I wasn't gonna let it stop me. So I had already started writing book number three at this point. And so I'm writing book number three, and I'm actually really liking book number three. I can tell that my abilities have been improving, which naturally are going to occur, right? You know, when you're playing baseball, the first time you don't go out to play baseball, you're not playing, you know, for the Yankees or anything. So surprisingly, I was getting better. And I was really enjoying it. So I finished this book and I'm going, you know, this is really good. I really like this. I felt really good about this one. Get my agent list together, write my killer query, start sending it out. And this time I start getting a few nibbles. You know, more than a few nibbles, several nibbles, but nothing more than nibbles. And at the end of my list, nobody took it. And I was really disappointed this time because this one I really felt good about. Still, I've got to keep moving, reluctantly put it into the drawer with the other ones. And I was already starting to plan out book number four at this point. So I'm working on the plan for book number four, and an interesting thing happens. I ran into a friend of mine who I used to be in a writer's group with. And he had some success. He had a couple books out with Random House. And at that time, it started publishing with a small LA press called Ugly Town. And which is it's a funny name, but they were actually at the time were a very prestigious little small press. And he said to me, we got to talking, and I told him about my problems with this third book and how I was really disappointed. And he said, you know what? Send the boys at Ugly Town your manuscript, and I'll let them know what's coming. And I said, send them my full manuscript? He said, yeah, just send them your full manuscript. So the next day, I sent my manuscript off, of course. Now, though I had learned my lessons, I did not put any faith in anything happening at that point. I said, okay, I'm sending it off. It's in the back of my mind. I need to keep moving forward because I can't assume that anything is going to happen. I need to keep making something new. If I'm going to do this, it's going to be a matter of sheer willpower to get me into the publishing ranks. So I go back to working on book number 4, and 10 months pass. Now in 10 months, Ugly Town that's been put into the back of my mind is now completely out of my mind. If you would ask me what had happened, I would have probably said, well, they must have thrown it away or it never got there. It's just not gonna happen. 10 months gone. I'm getting close to starting my revisions on number 4. I'm very excited about it. It's something very different than anything I've written before, and I'm really liking it too. And then I get this email that obviously I'm one of several recipients of the email, but it's from Ugly Town, and the email read, sorry for the delayed response. We have your manuscript. We will contact you in a month. I'm going, well, that's not a no. Mm-hmm. It's not a yes either, but it's not a no. And it was nice. I let myself kind of celebrate for a few seconds, and then I said, well, I'll probably not hear from them, you know, or it'll just be a no anyway. But nonetheless, got to keep moving. Back to the book. Writing. A month passes. Christmas, nothing. 6 weeks, nothing. 7 weeks. I'm sitting at the Starbucks I used to go to, at the table I used to sit, doing my final polish on book number 4. This is, I think, January 16th, 2003. And all of a sudden my phone rings. I don't recognize the number, but I pick it up anyway. I go, hello? Hi, can I speak to Brett? I go, this is Brett, which was naturally what I would say. And he goes, hi, this is Jim from Ugly Town. Now, I'm pretty sure I had a dramatic pause at that point. But I said, well, hi, Jim, what can I do for you? For the next 10 minutes, Jim kind of starts talking about my story with me, about what he liked, about what he thought could be improved on, and I'm sitting there listening to him, and I'm answering a few questions, and finally I say, wait. Are you saying you're gonna buy my novel? And now this time it was Jim who paused. He goes, well, yeah, I'm gonna buy your novel. I have no idea what the rest of the conversation was. I don't even remember driving home that night. The next thing I remember is the next day when I'm telling all my friends and family I have a publishing deal. Very excited, so excited it finally happened. Yes, Ugly Town is a small press, but it's a very prestigious press. I'm not going to get into a lot of places, but I am going to be published. 2003, yes. So we're going to skip forward now to July, same year. Ugly Town has decided they're going to fast track this book. It's going to come out in October. My God, it's only a few months away. October, I'm so excited. My book's coming. I've been doing all these revisions with them and getting it in real tip-top shape. They've come up with this great cover. It's all very exciting. I have a few questions I need to ask them, so I send them off an email, and I don't get a response. So I send off another email, and I still don't get any response. So I call them. 2 weeks go by with no response. Oh my God. And then finally, in early August, I get a call, not only from Jim, but Jim and his partner, Tom. And they're very contrite, and they say, so sorry to give you this, to tell you this, but this distributor that we've been using for a long time has gone bankrupt, owing us thousands of dollars. And as a small press, that's the nail of death. So they had to suspend operations. They were canceling almost all of their production schedules, all except for my novel. But they weren't going to bring it out in October. Or they were going to postpone it until the spring, hopefully. Okay. Now, when I heard that, I knew, I could tell, it was like 5% that it was even going to happen. Now, I could have, again, just given up at that point and spiraled out of control and gone into a deep depression, and I may have for like about 30 seconds or a minute. Okay, it was 5. Yeah. But I knew that I couldn't let that stop me. So what I did was I realized that I had a job to do, and my job from that point forward was to convince Tom and Jim to publish my book, whether it's in the spring or the next year or whatever, do everything I can to keep them involved and motivated in my book. I don't remember everything I did, but I do remember the most important thing I did was I came up with this like around 30-page marketing plan. It was detailed and really neatly put together. I worked at a graphics department, so it looked really good. I got friends' help. And I don't even know if it was really that good of a marketing plan in and of itself, but it was the best thing I could do. And they were really impressed. And I think it helped a lot in what happened next. Move to November. I get a call from Jim. I think it's maybe an update on what's going on, or a non-update, you know, which I was getting sometimes because they just didn't have a lot of news. But it wasn't that at all. It was, he called me and he said, Brett, we've been talking to this editor friend of ours, and we actually let her read your book, and she'd like to talk to you. Oh, she works for Bantamdell. And, you know, we all know Bantamdell, right? Random House, Bertelsmann, biggest publisher in the world. And then he says, would you mind talking to her? I said, no. I mean, I'm not really interested, but no, of course. I said, sure, of course I'll talk to her. So two days later, Shannon from Bantamdell calls. Now, I know, again, I have another job at this point. My job now is to make Shannon know that I am going to be the easiest author she has ever worked with. I'm not going to be a rollover, but I am going to be a team player, and I'm going to try to make my book as best as I can with their help, and I'm going to work together, and I'm not going to fight them, but I'm not going to just roll over for everything. So I think the conversation went pretty well. I don't know for sure, but it seemed to, and Shannon was very nice. We had a good rapport and everything. A few days pass, I get a call from Jim, and he says, well, Bantamdell is buying your contract from us. And I went, yes, thank you. So the boys at Ugly Town were just like true to me all the way to the end, even in their own horrible implosion, which was great. So I'm going to be published by Bantamdell, one of the biggest publishers in the world, or the biggest publisher in the world, an imprint with them. Shannon calls me and she says, well, you know what, we're going to do a new contract with you. Instead of the one book contract you had with Ugly Town where you had like an advance of about this much, we are going to give you a 3-book contract with an advance about this much, which was better than this, trust me. But it's 3 books. It's not enough money to quit my job, but I'm going to be doing 3 books for sure that are going to get published. And so I'm very, you know, obviously very excited. So, also I should point out, all of this to this point in my story is done without an agent. No offense to any agent, I just couldn't get one. All of that happened it all happened without, none of you wanted me. None of you. I did, you know what happened? What happened next was that Shannon, who was at Bantamdell, called me 3 months later and said, I've just taken a job with Berkeley Press, so I'm leaving. And so, you know, I'd heard plenty of horror stories about authors being dumped, you know, being marooned with their editors leaving. So I panicked. And I actually had met an agent at VoucherCon, the mystery writers, or mystery fans convention. And I had her business card taped to my wall, and I called her and I told her my situation, and she signed me up like that. And she's been my Ann Hawkins. I don't know if anyone knows who she is. And she's been my agent ever since, and she's been great. But she makes nothing from my first 3 books because I had already made that deal before her. But she still represented me on those first 3, no matter what. I mean, she was great though. She's been great all the way through. Still my agent. Wonderful, wonderful woman. So I have an agent, and I also, it actually ended up great too, because I ended up being moved from Shannon to Shannon's boss, who was a senior editor, Danielle Perez at the time. She was at Bantamdell, and Danielle is to this day one of my good friends, and she was like my champion there. So everything's going well. 2007, my book, The Cleaner, my very first book, comes out to great reviews, does very well, gets nominated for many awards. Didn't win any. It's always nice to be nominated. 2008, my second book in my Jonathan Quinn series comes out. It's called The Deceived. Also gets nominated for many awards. Won the Barry Award for Best Thriller. Thank you very much. Yeah, that was a good trip. Yes, thank you. I did that specifically to get applause. Something else that happened in 2008, because of the way the publishing world is, in the traditional publishing, at least it was at this point, I'm sure it is still now, they always, you basically finish your book a year ahead of time. So my second book had just come out, but I'd also just delivered the final version, the approved or accepted version of my third book, which is called Shadow of Betrayal. So now, three books in and accepted, three book contract, the contract is complete, even though I still have a book that hasn't come out. But now it's time to get a new contract. So in August of that year, Danielle and Anne, my agent and my editor, get together, they come up with a contract, I get a two book contract with enough money that will allow me to write full time for at least two, if I'm careful, maybe 3 years. So of course I took it. And the very next day I put in my notice at work, but I'm a nice guy, I gave them a month. And so September comes around, I believe it was the 17th, 18th, I don't know, somewhere around there. Big party at work, bye-bye, a lot of tears and stuff, not for me, because I was excited to be leaving. And big goodbyes, lots of friends, it was fun. So that was all good, but I need to put a little historical context in here. This was September 2003. 1 week later, no, no, I'm sorry, 2008. 1 week later, Lehman Brothers went under. And then the banks started falling like dominoes, and the economy started spinning out of control. It's all right though, I had a contract, I've got payments coming, I'm gonna still be good for my 3 years. And you know, this is what's going through my mind. Of course, what's not going through my mind is people aren't gonna buy books as much during this time. And even if people don't buy books, it's not the economy's fault, it's the author's fault. Often, for the publishers. So, 2009 comes around, summer 2009, my third book, Shadow of Betrayal, comes out. I deliver the book of my second contract, which is the fourth book of the series called The Silenced. And I'm starting to work on the fifth book in the contract, which is going to be my first standalone called No Return. Now, Danielle calls me that summer and she goes, you know, Shadow of Betrayal isn't doing so good. And I'm thinking in my mind, well, have you looked at the economy? You know, but I don't say this, of course, because I value my relationship with her. And she says, well, we've come up with an idea here. What we'd like to do is we kind of want to reintroduce you to readers and everything. And I think the best way to do that is if instead of bringing your next Quinn book out, your fourth book out as our next book, we're going to switch things and we're going to bring your standalone out next, the No Return, because that gives us an easier opportunity with PR. But because you're just starting to write it, kind of means that in 2010 you're not going to have a book out. And I'm going, oh, great. Okay, if that's what you think, I trust you. This is what we're going to do. Fine. All right. So I set to work on No Return. I am a very fast writer. Now, I haven't been writing very fast because they only need a book a year, but I am a much faster writer than a book a year. So what I set out to do is I write No Return at my regular normal speed, which is very fast, so with the thought that the sooner I can get it into their hands, the sooner we can get it onto the schedule, because it's still, they were not going to put anything to schedule until they have something done. So maybe instead of 2 years between books, it might be a year and a half, okay? Yay. I'm writing, I'm getting it, and it's getting close to Christmas, and I think I'm going to have a draft done that I can send Danielle for Christmas. So I've got it already, I'm very excited. Danielle calls me and I say, and I'm going to tell her about this right then. In fact, when I hear her voice, I go, oh, I'm going to tell her this. She says, Brad, I have something to tell you. Well, I'm thinking, I have something to tell you too, but you go first. I've taken a job at Penguin. And I'm going, oh, no. Yeah, so Danielle, who has been my champion, is leaving at the end of December. And she goes, so we're going to give you to Editor X. And I'm using Editor X because I do not like this person, so I won't say the name. But we're going to give you to Editor X. And you've met him, you like him, don't you? Yeah, he seems nice, but he's kind of junior, isn't he? He goes, well, yeah, he is a junior editor, but it's okay because Nita's still here. Anita, it was the publisher of Bantam Dell, so which is basically the head of Bantam Dell, right? And she was like my second champion. So I had, you know, if Danielle was gone, at least Anita would still be there. I'm thinking, okay, all right. Well, I mean, what am I going to do, right? You know, I can't make you stay. So yay, good luck, congratulations. So Danielle goes. I'm working with Editor X. It's going okay. Within a couple of months, we finish up the edits on No Return, and he basically says, okay, you know, we pretty much accept this, so I think we're almost done. And I think, well, this is great. Now I have both the Silence and No Return are basically done, although neither of them are out yet. And tell myself, okay, you know what, I'm going on a trip, because I love to travel, that's my one thing. And so I like to go out of the country, I like to travel internationally when I can, which isn't all that often, but occasionally. So I'm out of the country, halfway around the world, 5 a.m, my phone rings. It's Anne, my agent. And she says, I'm sorry to bother you on your vacation, but you need to know something. I'm going, what? You know, this is like literally the second or third day of my vacation, and I'm going to be gone for like 2 weeks. And she goes, well, Random House has decided to merge Bantam Dell with Ballantine into one imprint. Now, one imprint doesn't need two heads. So they've decided that the head of Ballantine is going to be the head of this new one. And so Nita was out. So now, both of my champions are gone. And I'm stuck with this junior editor, who at this time I'm okay with. All right, we'll get to the bad part. So I'm going, oh my God, this is crazy. And I actually, to be honest with you, I never received any email. I never even talked to the new head, so I don't even know who it was. Within the next couple weeks of me coming home, several things happened. The next thing was, Editor X tells me, well, we've decided, and this is obviously not coming from him, it's coming from above, we've decided that actually we're going to switch things back and we're going to have the Silence come out next instead of your standalone. And I'm thinking, well, then why did we wait? I just lost a year for nothing, you know? So that was, you know, it's like, well, okay, what is? Then it was, so, well, we've decided that we're only going to bring you out in mass paperback, no hardbacks for these last two. And that meant there was no way I was ever going to to earn out on that advance that I'd gotten, A. B, that meant I was very unlikely to ever get a contract for as much as that advance was, because I didn't earn out on the sales aren't going to be nearly as good, because they're not going to push it, which they didn't. And it was like, well, that pretty much just killed the career right there, as far as that goes. And then the third thing happened. Well, we've decided that we need to do full edits to both books again. And I thought, well, I thought they were both accepted. Well, we need to do full. But the fun thing, this is where the fun part comes in with Editor X. Editor X, God bless him, I think he thinks he was doing the right thing, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt for that. But he basically takes both of my manuscripts and rewrites them. He actually writes in scenes, changes character type, I mean, he changes dialogue tags, he changes all this just, I mean, it was a massive, I mean, Rob saw him, I showed him to Rob, he knows. I'm not lying about this. I still have them on my computer, but not here at home. And I was furious. I couldn't sit for more than like 10 minutes every time I opened the document. My agent was livid when she saw what had happened. And she actually very soon, called over to Bantam Dell and basically read the riot act to them. And so what ended up happening was they said they backed way down. And I have a feeling he kind of just did this on his own. I don't think he showed it to anybody else before he sent it to me. And they said, whatever manuscript I return to them is going to be the manuscript they accept. So I went through all his changes. I still had to do that, but basically got rid of everything almost that he did and put everything I had back in, sent them off. Both books are finally accepted. So I've got two books accepted, two book contract. That contract is done and gone. Now, the thing with contracts with the publishing world that most or many of you probably know is there's this nice little clause called first right of refusal on, you know, on your next work. So that meant that Bannumdale still had the right to my next book, or at least to see it before I could do anything, and they'd have 30 days to act on it. Neither my agent or I had any intention of staying there anymore, which is kind of unfortunate because, you know, with a few years before, I was thinking that I didn't want to be anywhere else. You know, this, I loved it there. I loved the people there. I loved everyone there. So we were going to reject whatever offer, unless it was like earth-shattering, which we knew it wouldn't be, that they made on the book. But they did us the favor of passing. So we all parted ways. This was the summer of 2010. So now I'm faced with no contracts and no desire to ever go back to actual work for anyone else, but not really sure how I was going to do that. So the plan was first to write a book that my agent would take out to look for new publishers. Another thing is happening around this time that we're all aware of now, and that's the big ebook revolution. And I have some friends who were starting to do fairly well in it at that point. And so it was making me curious. People like Blake Crouch and Joe Conrath, I know some of you don't like him, some of you do. He's actually a very nice guy. They were doing good, and so I was getting curious about this. And so I thought, well, you know, I am a pretty fast writer, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna write two books. I'm gonna write one that my agent can take out, and I'm gonna write another that I'm gonna try as an ebook. So I wrote a book called Little Girl Gone, and I gave it to my agent, and in the process I started writing a book called Sick that I was gonna put up on as an ebook. And my agent read Little Girl Gone, and she said, this is really good, but I think it's not the right book that we wanna go out with. For her, it was, Little Girl Gone is a thriller, but it's a lot more intimate thriller. She wanted something that had high concept, something big and brash and everything that would draw the attention of a publisher. And luckily, my Sick was actually the big, brash kind of thing. But it was the one that I always thought would be better as an ebook and do better as ebooks. For some reason, I don't know why, it was just how I was thinking. So I told her that, but she said, well, just let me see it and when you're ready. And I go, all right. So I finished Sick, I sent it to her. While she's looking at it, I'm prepping Little Girl Gone to go ahead and try it as in the ebook market. And then she did an interesting thing. Anne called me and she said, you're right, this is really good. And I can't believe I'm gonna tell you this, but I think you should go ahead and put this out as an ebook. Because if we try to sell this, it's gonna be at least a year before it comes out. And I think you need to get this out now. I mean, there were a few timely things going on with it, with things that were going on and stuff like that. She goes, just do it. I mean, Anne has always been incredibly supportive of my move into the more independent realms, which has been great. So I said thank you, because I was going to tell her that anyway. I was going to do it. So in 2011, I released Little Girl Gone in March, Sick in May. I released a YA book that I had written in some downtime when I was working with Bannumdale called Here Comes Mr. Trouble in June. In July, I released a short novel, Becoming Quinn, which is the origin story of my Quinn series, which is my original series. In August, I released the Pull of Gravity, which is book number four that I was working on when Ugly Town called me. It's the only one of my desk novels that I put out. The other two will never see the light of day. I've learned my lesson. In September, I released Every Precious Thing, which was the sequel to Little Girl Gone. And in December, I released Exit 9, which was the sequel to 6. So I had seven novels that I released in 2011. Now, financially, 2011 was a little bit dicey for me. There was good months and bad months. There was one month I wasn't sure I was going to be able to make the rent, but I did. But since then, it hasn't been a problem. Because I could see the snowball rolling. I could see, because they all, I've never had a real big, huge breakout hit. My books sell well, but they also continue to sell well, and they add on to each other. And so I could see what was happening. So I knew if I kept this up, if I kept putting out more good material, because it's important to me that I keep my quality up, that this will just add on top of everything else I'm doing. So in 2012, I released four more books, two of my Quinn books, since they were now all done with Bantamdale, and two more books with out of my six series. And then this year, Rob and I have released the first book of a series that we're writing together, Poe, back in March, and the second one will be out hopefully around Thanksgiving. I released another Quinn book in June, or July. I have a book coming out in like 3.5 weeks, the fifth book of my sixth series, and then another one hopefully by Christmas. So there'll be five this year. So. But I, you know, I'm writing like 8 hours a day. Okay, it's my job. This is what I do. Okay, and it happens to be the pace I write at. So if I want to write less, I have to write less hours a day, because if I'm going to write 8 hours, that's how much is going to come out. You know, we all have our own pace. That's not a brag. I mean, we all have our own pace, right? And you just write with whatever you've got. And so that's what you've got to do. And so I'm very blessed with that, and I'm lucky, and I know that. So all this adds together, is adding to my snowball, and I'm going to keep doing that, and I'm going to do it for another few years at least at that rate, because I don't know what else to do. I mean, that's just how it goes, and I want to just keep going, and I enjoy it because I love to write. I love to tell these kind of stories. You know, I love to do this kind of thing, and it keeps me from having to work for anybody else. In fact, now I don't even work for the publishing company. I am the publishing company. You know, it's not something that's going to work for everybody. It's not the panacea to all the ills, but it's also not as horrible as as a lot of people also make it out to be either. There's a lot of work involved, and you've got to do it right. And then yes, there's a lot of crap out there, but the readers find that out pretty quickly. So, for me, like, the keys to my successful writing career have been, the two main ones are persistence and determination. You know, I was determined to achieve the goals of the 12-year-old me who said I was going to be a published writer. And I was persistent in the fact that I never let adversity get me down. And I still won't. And I'm sure something's going to come up again. You never know. But I will keep going at it, because that's the only way to be successful. You got to keep going. If you're going to fold every time you have failure, then you're not going to be successful, right? It's just the way it is. This is my job. This is my career. Writing is my superpower, you know? And it's what I do better than anything else. It doesn't mean I'm the best at who does it. I mean, there are plenty of people who do better than I. But it is what I personally do best, and I can't imagine doing anything else. And I'm just very thankful that I've been able to fulfill the dreams I had when I was 12 years old.